access number 11772, reel 1.
Mr. Earth, reel 1. You were telling me that you come from Cheshire. Whereabouts in Cheshire do you come from?
I say this place, Norton, near Runcorn.
Is it a village?
Yes, very small. Hamlet.
What did your father do for a living?
He was an analytical chemist. He used to make oil for tanners.
Did you go to school in Norton?
No, I went to the grammar school in Warrington.
How old were you when you left there? How old were you when you left
there? Well, I went, it was a little boys' boarding school to start with, and then I went on to the grammar school when I was 9, I think it was.
How old were you when you left it?
16.
Did you want to go straight into the Air Force?
Yes.
Why was that?
Couldn't think of anything else to do.
Was it easy to get in?
Well, no, I had to pass an entrance exam, which was the equivalent of the matric, or whatever you like to call it.
School certificate?
Well, we didn't call it school certificate in those days. It was a matric. Matriculation.
When was this that you joined the Air Force?
1928.
Whereabouts were you trained?
RAF Halton.
As an apprentice?
As an apprentice, yes.
What did you think of the education at Halton?
Well, looking back at it, it was very good indeed.
Why was it so good?
Well, so thorough.
What aspect of work did you specialise in?
Fit an aero engine.
So how did you come to be aircrew?
Well, I passed out of Halton and I applied for my aircrew when I got to Martlesham Heath, where I was working as a fitter aero engine. And I don't know. I applied for sergeant pilot, nearly everybody did. But I was playing rugby for the Air Force at the time. And my flight commander was Ogden. That's right, he was an Irish international. And he put me up for a sergeant pilot. That was that. That's how I learnt to fly.
What did you learn to fly on?
Tiger Moths and Harts and Ordax and the Gauntlet.
Did flying come easy to you, or was it a struggle?
Now and again, it was a hell of a struggle.
Did you serve abroad before the war?
Not before, no. Can't say I did. Except Norway. You can't call Norway abroad, can you? No.
But that was after the war started?
Yes.
Did you think a war was coming in those days?
Oh, and didn't give it a thought.
What was your reaction then when you heard that we were at war with Germany?
Bloody frightened.
Did you know much about the Luftwaffe?
Nope. I mean, I know they've got the Messerschmitts and what was the other thing?
Well, later on they had the Fokker Waltz, didn't they?
Oh, yes. Yes, they were up there.
Where, which squadron were you serving with when war broke out in 39?
46.
What kind of machines did 46 Squadron have in September 39?
Gauntlets.
What was the gauntlet like as a fighting machine?
Oh, beautiful.
In what way?
Well, she was so versatile. Only two guns in the cockpit with you. And, a very, very fine little aeroplane it was.
But would you have been happy to fight the German Air Force in a gauntlet?
Oh, I know. Well, I don't know. you got me beaten there.
Do you remember who led the squadron there?
Yes, the squadron leader Barwell.
What was he like?
Very nice gentleman.
But later, squadron leader Cross took over.
He did.
When was that? Do you remember?
Well, it was just before he went to Norway. See, Barwell led us into patrols in the North Sea, and then he suddenly got posted, and this chap Cross took over.
Did Cross introduce any changes?
Well, he was a change in himself.
In what way?
Well, you can't work for one boss for 3 or 4 years and then suddenly change and have another one without having a change of ideas and methods.
What kind of work was the squadron doing in those early months of the war before you went to Norway?
Oh, just normal practice, normal war attacking and flying and attacking these drogue targets and ground attack. And then when we got the hurricanes, it hardly fired a thing. You know? I'm quite certain the first time I ever fired the 8 guns of the hurricane was the first time I got into action.
Wouldn't they allow you to fire the guns of the Hurricane?
Well, it was a case of that. It was never organised, put it that way. That's all I can say about it.
What did you think of the Hurricane when it arrived?
Frightened, to say the least.
Because of its power?
Yeah, I suppose it was, but I suppose I got used to it. I must have done.
Did people have accidents in the hurricane at first?
Not a lot. Not as many as I would have sort of expected. Of course, we always had one or two that landed with no undercarriage down and things like that. But by and large, she was a very safe aeroplane.
But did you prefer the gauntlet?
What a question to ask. Put it this way, I had more fun in a gauntlet.
Whereabouts was the squadron based then?
Digby. Lincolnshire. Not many minutes from Cranwell.
What do you remember about the squadron being taken to Norway?
Well, all of it. Where do you want to begin? I know the squadron lent the Fleet Air Arm 3 gauntlets to try and practice landing on the Glorious, and they broke 2 and gave it up as a bad job. And then we just flew up to, Uswith, and then across to Glasgow, Renfrew. From Renfrew we taxied down to the banks of the canal by the river, and we were lifted onto a barge. And we went sailing down the... I suppose it's... What river is that?
The Clyde?
Clyde, that's right. And came alongside the Glorious and got lifted aboard.
Were there any other squadrons on the Glorious?
Yes, there was a squadron of gauntlets. 336 squadron. I believe they were going out for the second time. You know, they were the squadron that landed in Norway on a lake, and they got bombed and all sunk. And I think you've heard recently one got pulled up from this lake not very long ago. And you see, the Glorious was coming out to take these gauntlets back. And we were pretty handy with the hurricane by this time, landing on this little field at Scarnland and Bardufoss. And that's where old Cross asked to have permission to see if he could land 3. And that's where this first Jameson came in. He led the 3 on. There was Jameson and a sergeant pilot. What the hell was his name? Taylor. And Taylor was the first one to land on the Glorious. Of course, Jameson gave him a tune up for that, because they'd arranged to have a dummy run and then land if you... This old Buck Taylor said, well, he said, I was there and I couldn't have done it again. So he shut his throttle and there he was on the deck.
And everybody said it couldn't be done.
Well, that was the Fleet Air Arms people. So he was the first one to land on, and then the other, I think, there were 8 or 9 landed on. Not quite sure. And then she got sunk, and that's her KCB Cross.
Why was it that... Where were you then? Because you didn't land on the Glorious, you said.
Yes, well, I got lifted on. I came down the Tyne and I got lifted on in the hurricane, you see? And I was on. No other way of getting off.
Did you operate from Bardufoss, from the airfields in Norway?
Yes. First of all, we landed at Scarnland. So, Cross tell you about that?
Probably, I've forgotten.
Well, I was his number two, you know. And we followed a Fleet Air Arm aeroplane to this Scotland, which was nothing but a bit of a strip by the field. And I believe the troops had been working very hard out there, and they'd covered the place with the coconut matting and wire netting and this, that and the other. Oh, poor Cross came along to land on it, and it just rolled up in front of his wheels and onto his nose he went. So he wasn't very pleased about that at all. And I thought, oh, good Lord, what's going to happen to me now? However, I just landed there, normal landing.
Were there any facilities there at all?
I was good mind to say no, because the poor old cooks were trying to get a fire going, and a jerry had come over and vomit, and all the McConaughey stew was
So there were no buildings there?
Oh, no buildings. You'd have a tent. I believe I had a tent between about six of us or something like that. I know the first bath I had out there was in a puddle of melted snow.
Where did you sleep?
In this tent. On the ice.
With sleeping bags?
With all I had was a ground sheet and two blankets.
Could you sleep?
No. You couldn't sleep there anyway. It was daylight all the time.
And you must have been terribly cold at night.
Yes, it was. Terribly bloody cold.
How many nights were you there?
Now that I don't know.
Was it weeks or a few days?
Well, I should say, just over a week, I should think. But,
and the Germans were bombing you all the time?
Well, they kept us down under.
With dive bombers?
Yes, they were Skookers, Tookers, or whatever they were.
Did they hit anything?
Not to my knowledge. I believe they put an AK-AK gun out of action, which was just a way down from us. It made more noise than use it was.
Were there any Norwegians about?
Well, there were some civvies working on this aerodrome that they were making. You see, I believe Bardu Fossen is now quite a big aerodrome.
Was this an airstrip that you were at, Scotland?
Scotland. Scotland was the airstrip. And then Bardu Foss was developing into a big aerodrome.
Did you do many operations from Scotland?
Yes, several. I never saw anything or hit anything, so.
Were you operating against German army units?
Well, I suppose we were, but I didn't see any German army. I got one or two bullet holes in the old Hurricane, which must have come from the ground.
Was there much snow there?
Well, Can I say it was going fairly rapidly when we got there?
Thawing?
Thawing, yeah.
What was the weather like? Did you have blizzards?
I don't remember. It was pretty awful.
What was morale like in the squadron? Was it low?
Oh, because morale was all right.
What was Squadron Leader Cross like to serve under in Norway?
Bit of a bully. Otherwise, all right.
What do you remember about leaving Scotland?
Well, I had the biggest bonfire I've ever seen. And then got into a lorry and I was driven down to the coast, where I got onto a little fishing cobble.
What were you burning?
Hmm?
What were you getting rid of? What were you burning?
Oh, anything and everything that was there.
Documents?
Well, no, not documents. The remains of the hurricanes and all the petrol and the oil and anything that would burn. And
who was on the fishing boat with you?
Do you know, I can't remember. By the time I got there, I was neither of this world. I hadn't slept for over a week, you see. And I remember, you know, there were the natives that were sailing the thing. I don't know whether they came back with us or not. But we eventually got picked up by a destroyer. And sailed off and caught up with the troop ship, I suppose it would be, and got aboard that and went as far as Greenock.
What was the voyage back to Scotland like?
Well, that was all right.
So you weren't attacked by the enemy on the way back?
No. Thank God.
What shape were you in when you got to Greenock? Had you recovered?
Oh, I think I must have recovered. Because I remember sending a telegram to my mum.
To say that you were safe?
Yeah. A little girl at the end of the telephone, I said, what I wanted to say, landed in England, I'm okay. And the little girl at the other said, but you're not in England. I said, well, it's near enough for me. And then we get this little Scotch voice, but you're not in England.
Where did you rejoin the squadron?
Well, From Glasgow, we came back to, I forget where we came back to. Anyway, we finished up at in Lincoln or Digby or somewhere there. What's the matter with it?
It's all right.
I don't remember much about that.
Did you meet up with the rest of the squadron?
Well, there's hardly any of the rest of the squadron left, you see.
Because they'd been lost on the Glorious?
Yeah. It's a KCB Cross and Jameson. They weren't there. They were nursing the poor old feet that had been in the icy water for days and days.
So were you the senior one left?
Oh, I'm not going to say that, no. Still only a sergeant.
How was the squadron reformed then?
Well, I suppose we had some pilots posted in and some aeroplanes posted in, and then we got on to the job of training as a squadron again.
Who was the new leadership now?
A fellow by the name of Rabagliati.
Was he Italian?
No, he was English, but that was his name. And he was always known as Ragbags. Now, he was a very nice fellow. And gradually the squadron got into shape and off we set course for North Weald and Stapleford Tawney.
Was Stapleford Tawney an outstation of North Weald?
Something like that.
Had the Battle of Britain got underway by the time?
Oh, yes, by the time it was well underway.
What were the facilities, if any, at Stapleford Tawney? Was there anything there?
Well, there was a dining room and some sort of rooms to sleep in. And
did you go into action straight away?
Yep. Hadn't been there 5 minutes before we were up.
What do you remember about your first operation from there?
Nothing very much. I think the first time I fired my guns at an aeroplane. And it's not a very nice thing, you know. It wasn't a cross I was following then, no.
Why wasn't it a nice thing to fire your guns at another aeroplane?
Well, it wasn't.
Did you manage to shoot anything down?
I never got anything confirmed as my own doing, but I do know in my own mind that there's two or three that I got.
Can you describe in detail any incidents you were in?
No. All I remember, you know, sort of getting the things lined up. You had to have them in line and a certain size and you in your oldest sight. I had an explosive bullet in the cockpit with me one day. That wasn't very nice either.
From a German fighter?
Yeah, well, I suppose so. Well, it was a German bomber. Could have been either. I don't know which way it came.
Where did it hit?